Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother Gawad Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio, coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. It gives me great privilege, and surely I'm highly honored to be able to do so. Brothers and sisters, if you hold on for 1 minute, we have some technical problems here, but it seems like we will be able to straighten it out, God willing. Let's see if, in fact, we can do just that.
And delete recordings or purchase more storage from your account.
He says the recording has started.
I have it. Technically, we have these different problems. However, it happens. That's what life is all about. First comes difficulties, then comes ease. Nevertheless, brothers and sisters, I used to say to all of you years ago that we can save a great deal of money, a great deal of money. And if we would buy as one, for instance, if one million of us, and how you get the telephone company to give you the phone for very reasonable is that we're all on Verizon. It's a so. It could be 100,000. It could be 50,000. But 1 million is powerful. So what we do, we wait 10 days, and we cut the phone off. And you go get you a little flip phone. So you may have to hold it for a week or 2 weeks. But we negotiate because they want that phone back on. They make millions. Just to think about it. 1 million people spending at least $100. You do the math. So that's a great deal of money every month. When you shock them that you have so many people have turned the phone off at one time, you turn it off by yourself. No one cares about an individual. If you want to be an individual, you're on your own. But when you move as a community, God is with you. Because that's what God wants us to be, a community. But for some reason, we don't understand what it is to be a community. But just as a community buy-in, I will get a call. Why? I deal with them every day. I know what's going on. The owners have got together in the board meeting. What just happened? Because every day they lose in millions. And when you lose hundreds of millions of dollars, you want to know what happened. It's like the electricity goes off in your home. You know you paid the bill. What happened? Why there's no lights? But you go outside and you realize everybody got lights but you. So why did your lights go off? Why did a million phones just was shut down? So I come in and they're going to offer me a great deal of money. Because that's what they do. You see, gold runs the country. And food runs the people of the country. But currency rules the world. So currency means a whole lot to them because they can make that up any day. It's hard to get gold. So if you offer people cash money, you got their attention. So this is cash money they are losing, not gold. They're losing your $100. So they're going to offer me mansions in 4 squares of the country, Bentleys, Rolls Royce. They will even give me $100 million a year if I tell all of you to turn that phone back on. But this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to have morals. Morals are important because you have to be morally intact and not accept that money. Do you want, Mr. Muhammad? I said, we want to turn those phones back on. Well, what do you want? We want $10. All we want to pay is $10. Now, they're going to try to negotiate with me. I say, you want to make this $100 million of dollars a month? $10. And I'm going to have to sign a contract saying I will not come back again. Why? Because when another million people saw what we just did, they're going to join us. But we can't go back to Verizon. Now we can go to AT&T. You can go to whatever other company is out there, Sprint. And we can do it for the next million because we don't have Sprint. This is what happens when you move at one time. So you save a great deal of money. You say, well, that's not there. You just save $90. So it's $90 in your pocket. But when you go in and they don't treat you properly and they don't care anything about you, you say, well, wait a minute. You must not know that I belong to a community of 1 million. And 1 million of us is doing business with you. But if one phone call happens that you are mistreating me, we shut you down. See, that's power. You don't have to march. You don't have to sing. You don't even have to come out of your home. Because why? You're a community. You move as one. So that's with everything that we do. And we can make each other rich. How do we do that? Take the best writers. We got 100,000 writers. Take the best writers and say, go write your history. We're going to buy that book. If 1 million people buy that book, he becomes or she becomes a multi-millionaire. Because when it comes off the press, they send and, you know, they tweet it, they text, bestseller, 1 million. Now, every company in this country want that book. Why? 1 million people. You can't lie. The press don't lie. They charge you by the book. So therefore, 1 million books just went out. You the bestseller. So we can make our children rich, being a part of their own corporation, but they got to get back. We don't make you rich, but we want 40%. Who, we individual? No, the community. But you got 60%. But we're going to make you wealthy. Just write that book. We're all going to buy that book. As soon as it comes off the press, hot off the press, we're going to buy it. Your bestseller. This is power. You create your own money if you create your ideas. But the problem you have no one thus far is in the business to know how to create. And the reason we are not moving and the reason we have no substance behind us, because we're sitting waiting. Imam is a title. Imam don't make you highly intelligent. Imam don't make you the boss of the bosses. Imam doesn't make you a leader. There's no such thing as a leader in Elisha. We follow the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So who's in charge? The community is in charge. Did you forget? Or are they not teaching you that? Because thus far, they all moving individually. But the problem they have, no one gives a damn, including you all that don't even come and support them, care no more. Why? Because you don't see anything in the last decade. How about the last 5 years? How about last year to this year? But what you do see is their hand now. So when your hands are out, you bake it. But when your hands put something in, you are successful. So Allah says, it's better to give than to receive. That kind of bothered me at 14 years old because I've been giving to everybody. You name it, my wife, my children, my siblings, you name it. I give it to the stranger if he needs it or she needs it. I would give. Because that's what takes us to paradise, not this material wealth. But Allah will give it back, 101. So you become successful because you give. You enjoy being the giver. Well, I want to know why nobody won't give to me. And I literally, brothers and sisters, pulled over to the side, jumped out my car and saw Allahu Akbar. Now, if anybody was looking, they said, this man just went crazy. I got it. I got it, Allah. Thank you. He gave it to me. He sent the angel and said, it's better to give than to receive, because if you give, you got it. To receive means you don't have it. So I want to be able to give. I want to be in a position that I got to be. So that's what's going on. Here it is, the individual sophisticatedly is begging, because there's no Umar could ask you for money. How could it when there's so many of us that supports it? So how do the building have to ask you? The individual. Pass the bucket. They'll give it to you if they want to, if they have it. But you don't beg for it. You don't cry for it. But more important, brothers and sisters, you don't see what you have given that materialized anything. And that can go on for a week, 2 weeks, a month. Just ask yourself, 10 years, if it was 1 million of us on the East Coast, I would ask a question of every individual at one time. How much money is in the bank account of all those masjids? Well, Brother Murad, I wasn't on South Orange Avenue. So who is? We want to know. Well, Brother Murad, I wasn't on Springfield Avenue. Who is? I want to know. We're one Umar. And when they send out texts, they ain't just talking about their masjid. They say send checks. They say send it over to life. They say bring cash. They're not going to ask you what masjid are you from. I don't remember seeing you. But because you've given that zakat, they'll ask no questions. They accept the money. Where is this mentality coming from? You see, you never put a broke man over the cash register. He was still, and rightfully so. Why? He's broke. He got to go home to his family. He's broke. You don't put a man that's obese in the bakery shop. Because he there where you make donuts, he going to eat the donuts. Why? He's a glut. He's got to eat. Now, maybe if you take the man in the bakery store, I don't care how he's obese, he ain't no thief, and he got money, put him over the cash register. And then take that one over the cash register and put him in the bakery store. He ain't going to steal now, because why? You didn't tempt him. You didn't put money in his hand. So sophisticatedly, they taking your money. And all these years, those hundreds of thousands sitting in the bank drawing interest. How many times did you know, or do you know, it's drawing interest? Now, it may not be no money in the first year. It may not be too much money in 3 years. But 13 years money on our interest to come together collectively and feed the hunger. To feed the youth, we didn't have enough money collectively to come together and feed our seniors that's eating dog food. They can't go to their children because they don't have a job. Matter of fact, the children going to the grandma. Where is us? What is bothering your soul, brothers and sisters? Because the soul is important. I'm going to be questioned. And I enjoy being questioned. I like anyone to ask me anything that will help this community, help your understanding, help to motivate you, stimulate you, give you the determination to want something out of life, and more important, to be an asset and not a burden. That's leadership. Leadership ain't a bunch of words that just go with the wind. As my native Indians would tell you, words go with the wind. Your say against his say. But in writing, you can read it, because you might have forgot. Now, when you get married and you write that certificate, brothers and sisters, neither one of you ever went to look at that certificate and see what it says. Because that wife is going to do her job. And the husband is going to do his job. And collectively, they're going to be successful. Because Allah brought us here as one. One soul. One ummah. But for some reason, it's a wake-up call. Because everybody is in hold. Not neutral, hold. You can't do anything. But you can think. You can rest now. You can rest that mind. You can rest that soul. But you should be thinking. You should be thinking, brothers and sisters. It's like dhikr Allahu Akbar. You got enough time now to dhikr Allah. That's the best thinking. Thinking dhikr Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. But why is that thumb moving? What do that thumb move? You see, these are the things that we don't comprehend, and we just do it. We just go through the rituals. And don't know why we're going through the rituals, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I need three. Yes, we give credit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we praise Allah, alhamdulillah. But Allah, Akbar, you glorify him. You glorify Allah. Allah said, I only need three. You got 99, 33 on each one. But you got dicker with that thumb. You don't need no bees. Tell a father to take those bees back overseas. That comes from Christianity, because most of them come from Christianity. Or, remember, Judaism was first. Then Christianity. Here come the pagans. They're all confused, all messed up, bees. You see brothers sitting there born on Spruce Street. Old Bobo sitting there dicking his bees. He's a copy. But what is bees? There were no bees during Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was it? Allah needs nothing from man. He gave us a built-in mechanism. Call them five fingers. You see them five fingers? But that thumb, that fifth one, it's the ruler. Oh, so let me bring it to the forefront so you can comprehend. And those warriors got to fight. But when you getting ready to slay that one that you beat, you got to look up at Pharaoh. What do Pharaoh say? Hold it. I got to go to my community. And he sticks his thumb up. Live. And he sticks it down. Or die. But he don't give the decision. Now, he's God. Ain't none of these men say they God, but he says he's God. But he goes to the community. And the community say, live, 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 whether he like it or not. But the community can take that thumb and put it down and say, die, die. Don't say die. That's sophisticated. Kill, kill, kill. Now, that warrior may not want to kill that guy. He will die if he don't kill him. Because the community said he must die. So they say the rule of the thumb. The thumb is the ruler. So you have to dhikr Allahu Akbar. I can stay on this for another 3 days about why we use our finger with the lines and then our finger all means, but you'll comprehend. Maybe you'll go and do your homework. So you got to dhikr Allahu Akbar. Go through three. After the dhikr, after you dhikr Allahu Akbar, The thumb is your conscience. That thumb is your conscience. You got to make a conscious decision. You're going to live in this world or you're going to die. And right now, we are dead. We are out of sight, out of mind. We are spooks. All of us collectively don't know what to do. So Allah says, I will not change a group of people until they change what's bothering your soul. What's bothering your soul, brothers and sisters? Now, I know what Satan said. See, God gave up on you. That ain't what God said. That's not what God said. God is saying that I gave you a soul to talk to you. Wow. Our soul, Lord, says, yes, but you don't listen. You don't listen. So why would I help you when I sent you your soul to talk to you? You won't listen to your soul. All for self. You don't care about anybody but yourself. You want a title. So let's look at this title, Imam. The Imam leads us in prayer. It's tradition. The Imam does the Jummah. It's tradition. But Allah says, in the absence of the husband, she's the man of the house. So what makes you different when she can lead her children in prayer? No, she can't do Juma. But I got a call saying, Brother Murat, I listened to Juma and I listened to the brother lead me in prayer. Alhamdulillah. So Brother Murat, I read the Quran to my children. It's not as long as the Imam does, but I read it enough to wait for him to lead us in prayer. Well, suppose he's not there, you lead the children in prayer. Ah, isn't that amazing? There's no such thing as male or female of the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala glorified him when he created us. Adam and Eve. You say, Lord, why am I in charge? Is it my soul? She got the same soul. Is it my spirit, Lord? There's only one spirit breathed in the nostril of Adam. Is it my DNA, fitra, the nature in you created me? Only one. How about my intellect, Lord? See, that's his ego. So that's why we all got common sense. Everything is common now. Each one, like I'll openly bear witness, that I believe I'm in paradise. So I'm trying to get to the seventh level of paradise. I don't want to just come in to paradise, and I want to just be in paradise where I live. So I'm working to get on that seventh floor. And it's like you go to school. We all went to college, to the Ivy League schools. How about Sister Clara Muhammad? What about Tuskegee Institute, one of the best there is in the black community? However, brothers and sisters, do you want to graduate amongst the 400 or you want to be in the top 5? How about the top 10? How about the top 20? You got to work hard. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I raise a few. You ever see that pyramid on the dollar? Oh, that was a wise group of men. I heard it was 6 or 7 of them. Came up with the pyramid. But up top, it got eye. You see that eye? Just look at the dollar. It's right there. The eye up there. But what did that mean? It means up there is narrow. And too many people are Allah raised to be above. But down the bottom is why. That's the pyramid. Who is that? That's the community. So Allah raised you not for yourself. He raised you up to give back, take a little for yourself, but give the majority to the people down there. That's zakat. That's charity. For some reason, it's not being taught. So Allah pretty much upset with you all that say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and separated. Separated on what? Jealous of one who grew above you, not knowing that is you. You can't go anywhere if you don't have anyone that has the ability to make things happen. But you can't just talk. You gotta show me a track record. So you wonder why we ain't building our own schools. Because where is our architect? Where is our developer? Where is our electricians? Where are we? We don't exist. We're separated. They have separated us because they all for themselves, individually with the knowledge. But collectively, there's nothing we cannot build. But we didn't know this was going to happen. So most of us are renting. Most of us own that little place you got. That's good for you. But the community don't know what to do. They don't know what to tell you. So the only thing you can do is beg. But if you create so everybody can benefit, everybody is happy. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us. Something is bothering your soul, but you're not talking to it. So here on Block Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, Mirage Speaks. I come to them 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, and I decide to open up their eyes. Now, I'm going to have to say this because I got a call from a beautiful sister from Arkansas. And I didn't know this sister went all the way back during the time of Amr Elijah Muhammad. And she left me a beautiful message. She called me Brother Iman Marah. Now, I helped turn Connecticut around. Yeah, I call it Connecticut because Dr. Aduda Majid Kareem Hassan is Connecticut. And I was able to bring everybody back. I went up there every day. Well, not every day, every Friday. And I've helped them for years to be successful. So that's what I do. And I don't ask for anything. Touched my heart. I said, well, y'all going to run a vote to put in a email over this masjid. And the brother said, well, why you waited so long? I said, because y'all weren't ready to eat stick. Now y'all got teeth. Because Prophet Muhammad, prayers peace upon him, when he died, meaning he passed away, pick our Baka, that was not his choice, and he was the messenger of God. Who chose him? The community chose him. After they delivered to put him in the grave, you have to vote. This is Al-Islam. So I said, may Allah forgive me. I had to hold it up until everybody saw that this can work. But my job was to bring the community back. That's why Dr. Hassan put me there. So we did. We brought it back. You know, sisters, they're going to look at something and don't like it. Ron, can you stay with us for a year? I said, no, you ain't tying me back to no four walls in the ceiling. Brother Ron, can you be here for 6 more months? I said, no, brother. I ain't come here to be over top of nobody. I thank you, but they're going to pick your email. And they did. And they're happy. And they're successful. And they're going to be more successful because I'm going to show them how to be more successful. It does happen. We can't go into Connecticut. We can't go into New York. These are the things that they are doing to us. Well, okay, it's all right. It's for a reason. I trust in Allah. We have patience with Allah. We should have patience with Allah. So the point I'm saying to you, I open up the line because I know everybody got a thought on their mind. And these group of men and women that I have chosen, they are intelligent enough to ask all the right questions that may can help you all that sit dormant. If this ain't a wake-up call that we got to come together as one ummah, one command, when we go into the office of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are just like you. That's why I say call me Murad. Don't you call everybody you love by their first name? Don't give me no title. Dr. Hassan gave me a doctorate degree. I thank him. And he made me say, I'm Dr. Murad. And I didn't mind. His wife called me doctor. She calls me son. She calls me email. Those titles are nice. But I like to be called Murad Muhammad. And if I'm a doctor, then put some words behind that DR. I'm a doctor of obedience to Allah. That's who I am. You can call me that doctor. Outside of that, I can't help you in medicine. I can't help you if you're dying. I can pray for you. No, I'm not that kind of a doctor. But I am your brother, your humble brother that went to the world. All I want to see is y'all come back with me to the world. It's a lonely world out there. Be out there by yourself, brothers and sisters. So with that said, we say with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the Lord of all the worlds, we thank Allah. We thank Allah, we can never thank him enough for giving us a mercy to all humanity. And Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the seal of the Prophet, may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon the Prophet and his sinners and his companions. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbi al-Adimin, wa sa'asa wa sa'am wa sa'asu alayhi kareem, salakallah wa deen. You see, brothers and sisters, I bear witness openly. There is no God but Allah. And I bear witness openly that Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the prophets. So I'm going to open up, and I believe this young lady that I love so much because she calls me Uncle Murad, but this young lady keeps me intact. I said, we're going on tonight. Yes, I am ready. She's ready, brothers and sisters. Was she ready? For some reason, it's something she always wanted to do, and she didn't beg me. She didn't ask me, because the one who seeks the post don't get it. And she comes up to the MGT, I guess the Vanguard also. She grew up, and she know protocol. I asked. And she didn't say no. Matter of fact, she's excited. But what I do love about her, we have a doctor on that side. That's her sister. Now, there's 10 of them. She's number 7. And she has a doctorate degree. And she came on last week, and I love her questions. But more important, she was ecstatic. She was ecstatic that this is happening. And we can make this larger. Keep in mind, 7 years on the radio. Well, you think that's something. 35 years on TV, ABC, NBC, CBS, HBO, USA, Showtime. I produce around the world. I come into your home.
Abdullah Muhammad.
But I accept. I'm humble. And I took the radio virus. Went viral. And so I believe with the sisters that's coming to be a part of me, because we ain't going nowhere without our females. I don't care what you say. Come to my office, you're going to see a lot of men around my table, but there's more women than men. And I have to say this before I open up the line. I have to say this. I was a young man watching, and I always seen people that came around. My mother was married for 10 years, 15 years old. I'm 7 years old. I said, I want to be just like that. I don't know why. I want to be just like that. And then I watched my mama. My mama, you can't go in the refrigerator for nothing. You get a beat. First, you better wash your hands. But you're not going there unless she asks you to. But there's a piece of cake sitting there. Boy, did I want that cake. But my daddy can go in there and open up that refrigerator and take that cake. And I said, whoa, that's mama's cake. No, the female not going to touch it until she really, if her husband wants it. Now, what man would do that? We'll go in there and eat up everything. We don't care who juices, because that's who we are. So I learned that a man will give you your knowledge, and he will make you equal to you. He'll make you equal to him, but he's never going to make you be larger than him. But that female, she loves to look up. Look up to her husband. Help her husband to grow to be as large as he can be so she can be proud of him. That's the female. So that's why she is the mother of the community. Because everybody had to come, as male, had to come through that tunnel. And she had to raise each and every one of us to be all that we can be in life. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Salima, are you there? Salima Muhammad?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. That was a little hesitation. I said, she's got to be there. Maybe I better talk a little louder.
I am here. Assalamu alaikum to you. I'm wonderful, and the peace to your beautiful audience.
Alhamdulillah. What's on your mind? I want to hear your two questions.
One question today.
Okay.
Back to school.
Yes.
Many districts in the country are mandating children to return to school under normal circumstances. A few districts plan to incorporate CDC guidelines. However, CDC guidelines does not incorporate instances surrounding specific airborne pathogens of COVID-19. Therefore, parents must be vigilant by discovering their options, homeschool, etc. My question to you, what are your thoughts about children returning to school?
Well, in this Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, you know, Allah gives you a choice. And this is why Satan don't like us. And our choice is accept him or reject him. No other creature on the face of this planet can make that choice but we human beings. So Satan don't like it. Iblis don't like that because he doesn't have that choice. Even though he's a devil, he's a devil to us, not to God. He serves God better than us. He is here before us, when we was even created. Iblis was here. Nevertheless, Iblis' job is to prove that we will choose wrong over right. And surely most of us doing that right now today. What are they doing to the country? So you should have a choice in life. To live or die. That's your choice. Allah gave it to you. He permits you to kill yourself in a window. He permits you to jump off the roof and you didn't die in willing. He's in charge of life and death. So he'll take you out of here out of mercy on knowing that you're going to be here, but you're going to suffer. But if you choose right, and it's difficult to choose right, so let's look at it. Our children is being played. Children like to be around children. You like to be around your peers. Children that's at home is bored. There's nothing you can do with them. They kids, they like to run, they like to jump, they like to play basketball, football, baseball, you name it. But they were shut down. If you look at Hitler, Hitler did the same thing. But I was shocked and amazed that this was created in a young Caucasian mind. And that's because he was being bullied. That he dreamt that he put all children at least 6 feet away from each person in a classroom or wherever he was at. And they adopted that. Thought that was a good thing to do. You can't speak to each other like we was in slavery. Because why? You got a mask on. Now, keep in mind, the scientists are saying for all of you that's healthy, you can get sick with that mask because the germs come through your mouth. You can't breathe in the fresh air. So the germs hit the mask and go right back down. So the mask is not clean at all. However, if you got an illness, that's all this virus attack, those who got an illness. If you catch it and you don't have no attorney illness, you'll beat it just like a flu, just like a cold. Children don't have that. They fight any kind of germs. There's so many germs that goes in our body, but Allah created us to be able to fight them germs off. So the children is not as vulnerable as we are. But that child that has a problem and breathing, he could see, or he could have asthma. How about sugar diabetes? How about sickle cell? That one you have to protect. You can't put that one out in the open. So these kids are now on the computer. They tell you to stay off the computer, not to be on that computer so long, but they are now studying on the computer. They're not sitting in the table being taught by individuals. Now, let me tell you why that wouldn't work. I'm using me. My mama can make me do anything. And I was the one that got all the beatings because I defined her. I don't like to be told to do anything. You tell me to do something, I don't want to do. But I'll do a lot of things. That's the reason why I was able to fast for 7 days a week and eat 72 days out of the week for 10 years. For one reason, I didn't like washing dishes. So when I moved in with my brother at 14 years old, I didn't have the money to feed the other five brothers that lived with us. And they used to call me, Rashid, come eat. Oh, I was happy. And the brother that could cook, that was some good food because my mother was a great cook. But they made me wash the dishes. Now, here I left my mother, so I don't have to wash dishes. So I've been washing dishes every time I was 3-4 years old. She taught us. You had to get up on that box and wash them dishes. And then she come and hold the glass up to make sure you clean it. So I know how to wash dishes. I didn't like it. And I say that to say, Rashid, come eat. I'm fasting. Rashid, come eat. I'm fasting. And that's how I learned how to fast. I wasn't washing no dishes. So if I didn't eat, I don't have to wash them. So I never liked no one to tell me what to do. So when I got in school, they were trying to tell me what I ought to do, and I wouldn't do it. Yes, I brought on all Fs. My mother promised me a drum set. I brought on A's and B's. I rebelled. But when I got to the eighth grade, I was angry with this teacher because I know what she does to you when you don't do the right thing. So I was angry. She put her hands on me. It's going to be a problem. And she said, young man, you're a handsome young man. Oh, she got my attention. She said, if you allow me to teach you, you can be all that you can be. For the first time, I felt my mother. Now I got a mother away from home. And boy, did I learn. Don't tell me them children don't need to touch their teacher, feel their teacher, see their teacher. But this is what makes me angry, and you open it up. Sister Claire Muhammad taught us, teach our children in our home. You the real teacher. And that's how she started. She wasn't letting nobody teach her babies. And all the men was in jail. She had two sons in jail, and a husband in jail, for not going into the military. So she had to do that on her own. So where's our Sister Claire Muhammad schools? Nobody going to tell us what to do to our schools. You say spread them out, we'll spread them out. But our teacher's going to touch our children. And our teacher's going to work with our children. And you're going to see your mother in that classroom. So that's a necessity. So what's happening is the president of the United States, and he's our president, whether you like it or not, we have to respect those in authority. He believed this will kill people voting for him if the schools shut down. So he did a 360. I want all the schools open. This is only for votes. This is only for money. This is because he cares. But because they made the virus the boogeyman. Well, we've been getting all kinds of virus and germs all our life. Some of us had chicken pox, some of us had measles. And this virus has nothing to do with the virus that we went through. This is how we built. But this virus that attacked the senior citizens' homes, that's why they're dying, because they're already sick. And it helps them to keep on dying, but they don't die from that COVID-19. They made it like that to make us all feel fearful of it. But yet they can go to different games and they can have fun and white power and they don't wear nothing. But then the statistic came out and said 200 has it. That not one name was mentioned. Not one name. Because why? They can tell us anything. It's a lie. It's a lie. But we can't buck the mayor in his city. We can't buck the governor of the state. And we definitely can't buck the president of the United States of America. But collectively, millions collectively, all over the world, all over the country, is saying, hell no, you ain't dictating to us anymore. So it's a big change happening. So you have a choice. I surely can't make that choice for anyone. What would I do? I have to see the school. I would prefer my child to go to school. But if I had Sister Claire Muhammad, I can tell you right now, they all would be in Sister Claire Muhammad. Because those teachers is going to teach you. And that's what happened. Look what they did to us in Atlanta, Georgia. It was a lie those teachers tricked and brought the grades up. It was the white folks doing it, but they blamed the black teachers. And then they went over everywhere. I believe they got off, most of them, because that was a lie. But they tell you what to teach. And if they see you in there trying to give history, you out of there. If you get a charter school, it's okay. You can teach the three R's, but you better not teach LSR. So I said, well, this is how we'll get them. We have to do the three R's, what they have to know. So teach it. 3 o'clock, class is over. 1 minute after, bring in all the Islamic people that you want to teach. They can't touch you. And that's why Sister Claire Muhammad around the country, the teacher's salary making $50,000, $100,000. Why? It's our taxpayers' money. why would we not take the money that we pay taxes for, come back for our charter schools? So that's my humble opinion. Hopefully I answered your question. My brother, I heard your voice, Abdullah.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Right. Hello, for those who are not familiar with Assalamu alaikum. I just have one question.
Abdullah, you got something in common. The sister who just spoke, that sister started as a vanguard.
Mm.
All those children grew up in temple number 25, and their father was Robin 7X.
Oh, Brother Robin, my man. Yes, sir. That's my
family.
Man, Robin 7.
How many of your mother had?
13.
And 13 of y'all grew up in temple number 25.
Yep.
What's your question, Mark?
I have one question. Do you feel as though the Confederate statue should be removed, and by whom?
Well, they'll put more emphasis. You know, I was told, if you don't dignify a person, you never promote. I learned that out here in the real world. So why are you dignifying? You big. You got all the press listening. So you don't dignify. Only mention his name. But what's happening, it's not us that's tearing those statues down. So you have to understand there's a crew that goes around the world. They specialize. They are trained to come and make something larger than what it is. Fires, burning the city, burning our restaurants. That's not us. And they know it's a group of Caucasians. All this shooting, they got a mask now. You look just like a black man. And they put glasses on and a hat on, and they come in and they shooting people. They say, yeah, that's a black guy that was in all red, all black. No, it isn't. Who comes in there? Just not even the brothers could say, wait a minute, we didn't do it. So who's shooting them? How are these people dying in our streets? They are taught to come in. Now, if you go watch, this is on YouTube. If you go and watch on YouTube, someone ran middle of the street and put red paint on Black Lives Matter. Now, this is right next to the White House. How the hell did he get out of there? Matter of fact, how did he get in and no one saw him? Well, the photographer was smart. When the guy ran, he followed him with the camera, but a police car came by more than 20 seconds after the guy started running. He never went after him. He was driving slow, and when he went around the corner, the guy is gone. That was plotted. Now the mayor came out and the mayor, sorry, I said Washington, that's New York, and next to his building. And the man came out, the mayor came and they painted back over real quick because he didn't want no trouble. So this is what they're doing. So these statues that's being pulled down is not us. We don't mind. Why? Because who that guy is, but we cannot take credit in pulling that statue down. This is not us doing that. We don't have that in us. I'm going to ask you a question. Now, all the stuff they have done to us, you know, they did a lot. Put us in fire, put us on the grill, burnt us, killed our mothers, castrated. We know all that. Is it in you to go kill white folks?
No, absolutely not.
See how Allah erased that from us? He erased that from us. We don't have that in us. I don't think, even though Jefferson shouldn't be up there or anyone else should be up there, we are not going to go and pull the statue down. But because Black Lives Matter, they figure if they can do that, all they want to do is destroy where you live. They'll burn it down. And people out there screaming and hollering, why is the black man burning down? That's not you. We don't know how to burn anything down. We got a match. A match can't burn down no Wendy's or no McDonald's. Somebody skillful comes in and they know who they are because none of them got busted. They claim they caught a few, but we ain't heard the names who they caught yet because this is the trick, to trick us, to con us, because when things happen like this, they want to destroy your whole city like they did Black Wall Street over one little assumption. They said, take it down. Now, I'm going to leave you this to confirm what I'm saying has some validity to it. 8-9 police officers was all together. We're going to kill these niggas. They call us effing niggas. They call us all kinds of names and said, this is going to happen in the fall. Go get your weapons. Not the ones they carry. They want to go get the big weapons. Go get your big weapons because we're going to kill a whole lot of niggas. When we finish, listen, when we finish, there'll be two generations behind. Guess what? One of them men taped it. And they just got fired. Now, what fire going to do? The mentality of what they want to do, they're going to pick you off individually. All this killing in New York, how has it happened? Now a little baby got killed. Where's the officers? Now that all the officers ready to quit, they building up the murder because they saying, we need our job. Y'all taking too much money away from them. So this is what they're going to do. They say sometimes a cop that get there for in 2 minutes don't get there until 20 minutes. They all need to be opening up to men that will. There's too many military men that came home that's black that can come in their own cities. But they got rules to keep you out. Like we found out that the baddest law enforcement is the sheriffs. They got unbelievable power around the country. And guess what? 92% is all white. So how are they going to lose, man? But how can we lose with the stuff we use? We got our law. We have our law. And I keep saying that. You can't let them put fear in them. Protect your child at all times. And let's kill this myth. Believe in Allah, but tie your camel. That came from a proverb. That's a proverb. That came from Alibaba and the 40 Thieves. But we use it. How could you say that Allah ain't sufficient, that you need an animal? You have to tie. You attach an animal to Allah? Allah is sufficient. We're going to do all we can to protect our family, to protect our children, to protect our community, but we trust in Allah. And if we trust in Allah, it's Allah, we can overcome that. That's an excellent question, and only one like yourself will give me that. No one is even thinking about that because that's happening all over the country.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome, my brother. Yusuf, you there, Yusuf?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
You got through. I made a dua for you. Yeah. I think it got something to do with your age, Yusuf.
No, it had nothing to age. They would let me on. 2 weeks in a row, they would let me on, man.
Yeah, but, yeah. You don't quit. You see, you told me if one door closed, you go to the next one.
There you go. You remember that. That's right. Yeah, alhamdulillah.
What's your question?
My question to you is, first I'm going to make a statement, then I'm going to ask you the question.
Go right ahead.
Martin Luther King, he died when he was 39 years old.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Martin Luther King was killed when he was 39 years old.
Yeah.
Malcolm also was killed when he was 39 years old. My question to you is, between Malcolm and Martin Luther, between Malcolm Shabazz and Martin Luther King, which one of those do you feel as though was the most powerful and influenced among the people in this world?
You know, someone asked me, you know, Joe Louis would have beat Muhammad Ali. And, you know, I have a love for Ali. And I said, Joe Louis would not be able to beat Muhammad Ali. Thought about it. Ali was not born in his time. And so, therefore, you can't take the old, because Ali stepped on Joe Louis's shoulder and became larger than Joe Louis. But Joe Louis paved the way. Now, if you go back to Jack Johnson, you say Jack Johnson would have beat Joe Louis, them together. It was a powerful force in America. One says, turn the other cheek. You get hit on your cheek, turn the other cheek. No violence. Dogs were chased on them. People was getting bit. They was getting locked up. But he had a powerful message. He didn't do anything else. He did what I said earlier in my broadcast. He boycotted the bus station. Now, they thought that wasn't going to last too long. Them black men and women walked to work for 2 years. He broke them down. And that's what he was trying to tell us collectively. But Malcolm had the men that came from Hard Knocks. But Malcolm came from Hard Knocks. Malcolm was raised up because even today, if you're talking to a bunch of ex-offenders and they've been in jail for 10, 20, 30 years and you've never been to jail, they're not listening to you. Why? Because you don't know what they feel. Well, Malcolm was in that prison for 11 years. But when Malcolm was out, he did what they did. Malcolm snorted coke. Malcolm sold dope. Malcolm was a pimp. Malcolm was a number writer. Malcolm did it all. So when he went in jail, the brothers in jail in Islam, that's what we call it, Islam, that told Malcolm, you don't have to be like that. And when he started teaching him the dictionary, he fell in love with all those words that brother was teaching him. He said, it's come from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Then they was going to teach him how to pray. Malcolm said, I ain't getting on my knees for nobody. He said, pick the lock, Malcolm. Pick the lock. King couldn't tell Malcolm that. He don't know nothing about picking no lock. Dr. King couldn't tell them men in that prison how to come out of that prison and be all that they can be. See, the mercy of God. So the mercy of God is you, everyone that followed Dr. King was intellectual. Everyone that followed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was downtrodden. Yeah, the intellectual came, but he said, give me the ones you'll reject. Give me the ones that Dr. King can't talk to. Give them to me. And my God, look what he built. But his organization is more powerful than Dr. King's organization. You say, okay, Marad, how could that happen? They assassinated King. But they ain't harm one hair on the body of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But he had a mission. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace upon him, said, my followers was poor. And if Islam goes down, it'll be the poor people that will bring it back up. That's the prophet, on the honor of Elijah Muhammad, said, give me the deaf, dumb, and blind. And watch me raise them from their own bootstraps. So you can't put them both together, because if you put them both together, you can only say that their success came from the will of Allah. Now, both of them had to leave. Malcolm left first. But the only reason why Malcolm left first, and I can only say it, when he was moving, he had a herd of cattle behind him. And he was in the middle. Or to get to him, he was a tramp. There's no human beings going to try to get to him. More or less an animal. But he left that. And he taught us, you leave the honor of Elijah Muhammad, death is too good for you. He preached it. You know, mom, know. And if I ask the sister, Robert Seven, the women would have gave their life for the honor of Elijah Muhammad. That's how much he was loved. So when he left and went by himself, they got him. Because he would have been too powerful. They got him. But Dr. King was tricked amongst his own people to put him out in the open. It was a setup. So when you look at it and you weigh it, you have to say, they in their era, you got to die for something. Both men died for giving their soul to the people they love. And then when Dr. King went over to meet the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in his home, that's what scared America. And he said, I've been to the mountaintop. That's all he was talking about. He'd been to Muhammad. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, we will unite. They will see heaven overnight. They said, I can't happen. So they killed him. So I can't judge neither one in the way of who was better. I can honestly tell you, that's like saying, which one of my hands is more powerful? And I say in the physical way, my right hand. But which one of your hands submit to the will of Allah? I cannot say the right hand, because I tell the right hand what to do. The left hand submits without you thinking. You go pick up that box, you grab it with your strong hand, your right hand. And all of a sudden, the left hand comes to help you. And if you ain't thinking, but if you think about it, that fraction of a second, say, I didn't tell that left hand to do anything. It submits. Then the brother took him further. The right hand, you shake my hand with it. I'm supposed to only have one hand. I can't touch your hand. Then they tell you what you do with that hand. See, that's all physical. It was not named by Allah. Tell them, Adam, their names. We name everything. Everything. Everything in existence, we name. Allah gave us that will to do so, that permission. But if you really want to talk about the hands, they weren't called hands. They were called Allah's two controls, El-Rahman, El-Rahim. That's my humble opinion. Good question, Sheikh. You always come with good questions. I have to tell you, the sisters in Radio Land says, who is that man? He always asks you questions. We try to figure out how you going to answer that. I say, he's been doing that to me ever since I was a young man at the age of 15. And you better give him the right answer of the student Roman. And that's number one, number two. Because if you didn't, he would correct you. Alhamdulillah. Okay, let's see it. Samad, are you out there, Samad? Samad, going once, going twice. Three times. How about my son? Is he out there? Warren? Warren, are you there? Going once, going twice, and brother from New York, Abdul, are you out there? Let's go back to our females, and let's see if Mama, are you on the line? Normally you are, and let's see if Mama on the line, Zakia, and she's not on tonight. And then we got this sister that I was telling you about. Known her, she's listening. But she has a right because I will just go and finish up on my talk about what's bothering your soul. She's from Arkansas. She's a young lady that inspired me to open the lines today, and surely I will be back on Saturday at 5 o'clock. So are you there, my beautiful sister from Arkansas? If you have something to say, I'll be honored to listen to you. Kareem, are you there, Kareem? Now, my nephew, Kareem, he's my great follower, but he makes a great deal of money. You there? I hear you. Was that you, Kareem? Kareem has some good questions. He's a longshoreman. And he almost got in trouble because he listened to me so much and he ain't paying attention to his work. Not that he going to slip up because he carries some big loads with that crane, is that he can't hear nobody else when he's listening to his uncle. But he's has a beautiful wife, and he's everything that I asked him to be, a great fighter. He was a great fighter. I didn't like it. We had no idea that he was getting tired because his he had a problem with it'll come to me, and the doctor told us, said, man, if he'd have kept fighting, he wouldn't have lived. We said, wow. He was eating a lot of eggs, and that almost got him. But I said, come on with me. You want to work for me. And I sent him all over the world. And when we came into that country, it was my country because he would pave the way for me when I come in. And he loves London for some reason. He loves England. Brothers and sisters, on Monday is our loose day. We don't know if we're going to take questions, but I have a lot of people that tune in. Now, someone else out there that I don't know about, you have a right to speak up. We got another 10 minutes. I'll give you some time. But we try to do this because it's got to be bothering your soul what's going on. As the brother said, all of this burning down and pulling statues down and our kids are being shot. The men and the women that we are taught in the Holy Quran. And I'm not knocking out Jews and I'm knocking out Christians, but we have a duty. And my duty is to secure all the Prophet taught us, prayers, peace be upon him. We have to be able to secure all houses of worship, our churches, our synagogue, any house of worship. We are taught to fight for them and to protect them and protect their sacred belongings. We don't let anybody tear down their statues or anything that they take to heart. This is in the Quran. So Islam is for all humanity. something is happening because I don't see us at the forefront. So I'm going to close out by saying to all of you out there is that we have to understand the four seasons. Four seasons is Allah, it's the will of Allah. And we use the four seasons when you see us do four takbirs when you are deceased. The four takbirs is the four seasons. So what is the four seasons? And I don't have time to go into each and every one of them, but I will say, you ever see the grass? You ever see the grass? When the grass looks like here comes the winter, and so your grass turns before the winter comes, it's the fall now. And that grass dies. The grass looks golden. It's a beautiful color, but it looks golden because why? The grass can't stand up no more. So what's coming? Winter is coming. Winter is coming. But what do the grass say? The grass say, before winter, I'm going to show Allah. I'm going to do everything Allah asked me to do. And I'm going to stand up. Because why? I'm beautiful standing up. But I know I'm going to die. Because another season is coming in. And when that season comes in, that grass dies. But here come winter, and winter nothing is growing. The trees lost their leaves, everything, nothing is growing. Here come the winter. Everything is dead. Sometimes it's so deep, we only go out 4 inches deep, 5 inches deep, 7 inches deep. So we look like everything around is dead. But we all believe in the hereafter. Well, how do you believe in the hereafter and you don't think Allah is going to raise it back up? Because here comes the spring. And when the spring comes, here comes that grass. Oh, my God, it stands straight up. Like someone said, Texan soldier, and it's showing you that Allah resurrect the dead. That's all the season is telling you. And then, boy, oh boy, here come the trees, here come the flowers, here come the trees and flowers and leaves. Everything is beautiful again. You don't believe in the hereafter? You really think you're just going to die? You don't die. It's four seasons. Allah is saying to you, our daughter, that's grass, that's trees, that's leaves, that's birds. All of a sudden, here come the birds coming out. That's why Allah is saying that you will go through these seasons, but I'm going to raise you back up. Why? Because you're the crown of creation. Everything in creation is in us. So we're like a flower. Go study the flower. And see how the flower, you can talk to it and see how it grows. You ever see that weed? You know how powerful that weed is? You can put tar, it's going to find a way to come through it. You can put semen, it's going to find a crack and it's coming through it. But that weed can go all the way across the street. If no automobile runs over it, it's going to go all the way, crawl all the way across the street and get to the next part of the other road and see a wall. And when they get to the wall, what do it do? Stand straight up. That's the human being. We think we dead. We think everything around us is dead. We can't go to the restaurants. We can't go to the school. We can't. We're not dead. It's a season. And the season's going to come in that gives us life, and you got to believe in that. And if you believe in that, that's who you are. So why are we not planning for future. For Allah Allah says, plan from the present to the future. Don't go backwards. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had five companions, and they did a beautiful job fast 1,400 years ago. What the hell are you doing today? You talking about 1,400 years ago? Allah said, what are you doing today, the present, today? Are you really the companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Well, listen to what he said. He said, go teach this religion. He didn't say it like that in the crowd. He said, go teach this deen. Go teach this deen, for they may know it better than you. But what happened? From that engaged in Abdullah Muhammad, Islam. And my God, the prophet was right. Teach us, for we will know it better than them. Until then, Allah brought them all to us, and we became inferior to them. Well, I can hear the Abdullah Muhammad right now today. Can I teach you, brother? Unlike subtract and unlike repel. So you don't like that because he's successful. You don't like that brother because he knows what to do. Why you don't like because he look like you? But let him have slick hair and look like you don't know where it come from, and all of a sudden you bow to him. You fell right back into Middle East slavery. We got too much to go. We don't die. We evolve. As long as Allah has you here, you can beg for forgiveness, and you can move this community as one. And those who are not with you, hell, let them be where they're going to be. The man that just spoke on this telephone can stand on Mount Everest and know I left this whole community to go to humanity. But Imam Rashid Muhammad taught me how to do that. I'm a student of Imam Rushdie Muhammad. And I became large. Now I'm back, like Harry Tubman. You don't have to be a slave, just get on the boat. So when we give her praise, I can hear in my ears saying, Marat, Harriet Tubman said she can free more slaves if they didn't believe they were slaves. I can make y'all wealthy. But y'all think he's supposed to be broke and poor. Yes, individually, collectively, we are rich with the spirit of the Quran. Inshallah. I thank you for listening, and inshallah, we will return on Friday at 5 o'clock so we can stay away from Juma, because that's not Juma. And we'll be able to speak to our audience conference call. It will not be on Blog Talk Radio. And also, I want you to know that if I said anything to hurt anyone out there, that is not my intention at all. And if I did, I ask you to forgive me. That's what we do when we make mistakes. We go to Allah. Allah hears me. If I said anything to you that is incorrect, well, I'm human, I make a mistake, but I believe you got the point. But if I allowed you to stand up in your soul and stand up in your spirit, stand up in your deen, I was fitting the nature in which you was created, and come back to your conscience, your obedience to God, your taqwa, don't give me that credit. I don't have the words to motivate you to do that. That's Allah. I plant the seed. But I greet you from our father, Adam, our biological father. And I greet you to our father of the intellectual mind of all nationalities, Abraham. He's a perfect example that you don't need nobody to teach you anything. You just got to go search for it on your own. And Allah will give it to you if it's in your heart. And I greet you from Jesus. I spoke very highly of Jesus yesterday, because Jesus Christ means Muslim. And Jesus came to do the will of Allah. And then Allah removed him. But he says one will come after him. And I greet you from Prophet Muhammad, the seal of the prophets. And when we give him the extra salutes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're greeting all the prophets that you don't know about, all in one. Alhamdulillah. And I greet you from the Arabic words from the Quran, Allah's language, which is powerful. Assalamu alaikum. I'm your host tonight, Murad Muhammad. And tomorrow, Imam Elihu Bey, he always reads the tafsir of Imam Waqfuddin Muhammad. He comes on from 7 to 8. And then our beautiful sister, Muhammad and Michelle, does a very good job in how to eat to live. And then Elihu Bey is back again. Imam teaches from 7 to 8. And then Booker T. Washington, the great Booker T. Washington, the honorable Booker T. Washington, grandson, great-grandson, Imam Musa Muslim Abui, he does Juma. And then Friday, I still return Islam from 7 to 9. Saturday from 7 to 9. And then our doctor comes on, Dr. O, and she teaches you that you are your first physician. Thank you. May Allah be with you. We pray in our du'as that Allah will help us with this virus, COVID-19, and bless us to be in tune with our souls so Allah can talk directly to you and allow us to be an asset to society and not a burden. Peace and love.
To stop conference recording, press 1. This session is no longer being recorded.